Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
We three men are in our studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and our brother Ray Pritchard is in Kansas City, Kansas. Ray, I hadn't asked you a coronavirus update for Kansas City area. Is that...
We're doing okay up here. I mean, yeah. The numbers in Kansas are rising, but it's not astronomical. And the mayor of Kansas City commented that so far, in terms of the hospital situation, it's exactly like what Walker was saying earlier, that we are not under siege here, like, say, in New York City, where, you know, the emergency rooms are full and the ICUs are full. There's a number of patients, but we're not at a critical situation by any means. So holding our own here in this part of the Midwest.
Steve, we were talking before the break about this executive order in Virginia by the governor there. This stay-at-home order lasts till June the 10th.
Yeah, I saw some of our listeners that are commenting on our Facebook feed. Someone noticed that it was kind of around the time of the Republican primary there. The Republican primary is June 26th, so it's not made for that reason. But it is a long time, and I don't see how Virginia can stay closed that long without...
How would the citizens, liberal or conservative? Hey, liberals have to work, too.
Right.
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah.
And they own businesses, too. People who would be Democrats, I'm talking about. Ray, how can they... I don't think this will last. I think he will have to come back within a week or two and rescind that. Or say, draw it back. Say, okay, we're going to go to...
Don't you think there will just be some open protests?
Yes.
What happened yesterday in Lansing is going to start happening in states around the country, and it's going to happen in Virginia. I mean, if the Virginians see other nearby states are beginning to loosen up by the middle of May, they are not going to want to wait till June the 10th.
I mean, that's like 7 years from now.
Huh? Yeah, when you're at the home,
when you're living like we are.
Sure.
I think he'll have to come back and change that.
Yeah.
Because what... To me, what that says is I'm willing just to sacrifice my state economically.
Yeah. For a long time.
Yeah, I'm willing just to kill the economy for a year.
Yeah.
In the name of stopping the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That's what it says to me. I don't see.
It occurs to me that when you shut down an economy, the people in that state or that region are going to be very, very dependent on the government, because that's the only source of income, only source of help they're going to be able to have. So those governors who tend to be more authoritarian and government, big government types, this kind of plays into their hand in a strange and sick way.
Also, I think it's, to me, if I'm a pastor at a church, I'm not telling my congregation don't come back till July. Or June the 17th, right, or whatever it is, huh?
Yeah.
Not to July, but middle of June.
Sure.
That's unreasonable.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to stop for a month to 6 weeks, to me, I know this is kind of arbitrary. Month to 6 weeks at the most. After that, you're not going to be able to stop churches from meeting.
Right.
And if you can, because what if Governor Northam comes back in the middle of June and says, you know what, I'm going to issue another executive order. We're going to take this thing through August. No churches.
Right.
Right.
That is not going to stand.
No. I don't think it'll stand legally. I mean, you're going to have lawsuits.
We already do.
Yeah.
You've already got Liberty Council is on the case of several people. I think they were representing the church in Greenville.
First Liberty.
Thank you. Liberty Council, though, Matt Staver's group is on it, and so is Pacific Justice Institute. They're all very involved in making sure that the religious liberty is restrictions are fairly applied here.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk about a little bit about what President Trump is wanting to do. He was at his presser yesterday, and there are some jobs that need to be filled in the government that are critical to the resolution of this coronavirus. There's some health official positions. There's some economic advisor positions that he needs filled. So this is what he is planning to do. This is what he's threatening to do anyway. This is cut two, Brent.
Every week they put up roadblocks, whether it's Russia, or whether it's impeachment hoax or whatever it may be. It's always roadblocks and a waste of time. If the House will not agree to that adjournment, I will exercise my constitutional authority to adjourn both chambers of Congress. The current practice of leaving town while conducting phony pro forma sessions is a dereliction of duty that the American people cannot afford during this crisis. It is a scam what they do. It's a scam, and everybody knows it. And it's been that way for a long time. We need people for this crisis, and we don't want to play any more political games. I've been waiting for 2.5 years, 3 years for some of these people.
So I've got a call into Abe, text into Abe to see if that actually is a constitutional thing he can do, but he sounds pretty serious about it.
Yeah, that was good news to my ears when I was watching the president yesterday evening in the Rose Garden say that. And that is brilliant. I mean, I think we can give credit probably to Mark Meadows. He's the new chief of staff, because this has been an issue for 3 years now, where you have over 3 years now, where you have the president, that they're in the Constitution, there is a recess appointment provision specifically that outlines when Congress is not in session, the president can temporarily appoint people to certain positions, and I think there's a timeline, and then they expire, such as an acting position. But the Congress, including Republican, the Senate, they've been holding what's called pro forma sessions, meaning one member of Congress. Remember, this is on the weekends, during holidays, right now, when Congress is not in Washington, D.C., they'll fly on our taxpayer dime. They fly a member of Congress to Washington to gavel the session in for literally 60 seconds. And then they gavel out just so they can block President Trump from making recess appointments. So I think President Trump can force this issue. Either Washington comes back to work and they refund this payroll protection program that's running out of money and they get other things done, or President Trump makes appointments.
Right. I think part of the issue is that there is a provision in the Constitution to do this, but if I understand correctly, I don't think it's ever been used before. I don't think any president has ever forced the houses of Congress to go into adjournment. I can certainly be corrected on that point, but that's what I understood when I read about it yesterday. So if the president does this, he's in the unusual position of having the constitutional authority to do it, but he's going to do something nobody has done before him. Though I don't think that'll stop Mr. Trump if he thinks that's what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm. So what you got going on right now is the houses, the House and the Senate, they're tricking the system. That's not a good way to phrase it, but
rigging the system. Maybe
they're rigging it. They're pretending to do something they're not.
Correct. Right. It's a misuse.
It's not like they're doing something illegal, correct? But it is a misuse. They're gaming the system to keep the president from.
They're saying, okay, don't turn all the lights off in the building.
Leave
one light on so we can say that we're open for business.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
When everybody knows they're not, and they're supposed to be.
Yes.
Constitutional.
And there is no advantage to having pro forma sessions when nobody's in D.C. other than the sole purpose of blocking President Trump's nominees. There's no, it does not fulfill any other purpose.
But is Mitch McConnell doing this?
Yes. Senator Mitch McConnell and the Democrats
in the
House.
But I thought he was an ally of President Trump's. Why is he blocking Trump's?
Well, he's an ally on some things, but on this one he's not.
Why?
I don't know. I get the only thing I can conclude.
Can President Trump not call Mitch McConnell and say, "Hey, man, what are you doing? You're blocking my nominees. Why are you doing this?" Yeah.
Well, I think he did have a call with him yesterday, and even if McConnell agrees to get rid of these pro forma sessions, the House has to agree too.
Okay, I got you. So even if some of them aren't just Senate confirmations, they have to go through the House.
Well. No, I think an adjournment, in order to be officially adjourned, I think both chambers need to adjourn.
They are, most all of these, I think, are Senate nominations or Senate hearings or approval, but the recess provision has to have Congress completely adjourned.
Okay, so it wouldn't matter if McConnell said, okay, we're opening up, it wouldn't matter because Nancy Pelosi wouldn't.
Well, he'd say we were closing
down.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, closing down. Okay, gotcha. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve, has the mainstream media started covering the accusations of sexual assault against Vice President Biden?
It will probably come as a surprise to you that they haven't. Joe Biden, since the accusations by Tara Reid have been made public, it has been 3 weeks and he has done 10 media interviews with the likes of MSNBC, The Today Show, and Meet the Press. And not once has he been asked about the allegations of rape against Tara Reid made against him. Not once.
Why not?
Well, if you take the
ask Captain Obvious.
If you take the New York Times lead, the New York Times they are covering for him. It's just a blatant.
Well, no, they all are.
Yeah, well, yes.
Not just the New York Times, the liberal media. They know that Biden's their only shot to beat Trump, right?
Yeah.
So, again, Captain Obvious speaking. So, Ray, the mainstream media says we've got to protect Joe Biden from any further damage. So the best way we can do that is we don't talk about this story, which is very credible, by the way, because right. She was an aide and a staffer to Senator Biden when she says this happened.
And that she told somebody contemporaneously that it happened.
It's altogether different from the Kavanaugh credibility issue because that was when she said they were teenagers at a party in a house. Well, where was the house, man? I don't know.
Right.
That was what you got from the absent-minded professor there, if you remember her. She was, yeah, that's all I'll say about that. I could say more, but I'd get in trouble. With this one, this is an accusation made by a former staffer. So this has some credibility question into it, Ray. And so the media has decided we've got to support our guy, Biden. And how do we support him? Well, we sure can't talk about this because it hurts him. And we've got to take Hitler out.
Well, all of that is true. I think what has helped in this situation from their point of view is the coronavirus and the pandemic
drowns everything else out.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So most Americans, I think, are simply unaware of this story, and the mainstream media is not going to make them aware.
But the evidence of what I'm saying is true because of what Steve said. How many interviews has Joe Biden done?
10.
How many questions about this has he been asked?
Zero.
Yeah. So the mainstream media is the public relations firm for the Democrat National Committee.
Yeah.
They are.
Right.
And have been for 3 years, almost four.
Yeah. And this is just you don't need any more examples when you look at this particular one. This isn't a guy that's running for, you know, city council in Arizona somewhere. This is a guy running for president of the United States,
right?
By a Democrat party who champions believe all the women. And here we have this, and they're saying we're not going to talk about it.
Dean Baquette, who's the publisher of the New York Times, was asked about their coverage and why they decided to sit on this and everything. And unbelievably, he said that, well, Brett Kavanaugh was a major story that was ongoing, and he was up for a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, and Joe Biden's, this doesn't rise to that level because nobody really has heard about it.
Oh, right. He's only running for president of the United States.
Right. Right.
The
right.
most powerful person in the world, he's only running for that position.
And the reason they haven't heard about it is because the New York Times won't tell them about it.
Yeah, and another example of this blatant bias we're seeing in the media, and this is not a new thing, but, you know, you watch the White House press briefings, and you get questions like, Mr. President, how many deaths are acceptable to you? Mr. President, why is everybody running out of personal protective equipment? Hydroxychloroquine is a hoax. It doesn't work, Mr. President. Why are you defending it? You get the questions like that. They're all set up in a very negative manner, assuming the worst. But then you have Governor Cuomo, a Democrat in New York, having his daily press briefings, and he's getting asked these softball questions about how great of a job he's doing, how they're over the peak, you know, and but you see the difference.
Oh, yeah. Let me give you the quote, and we can move on to the next story. This is the quote from Joe Biden himself during the Kavanaugh hearings when the professor from California made her accusation that Brett Kavanaugh as a teenager raped her at a party that she couldn't remember.
She claimed he groped her. She didn't even claim rape.
Oh, that's right.
Attempted rape.
That's a big difference. He groped her at a party when they were teenagers. That was what she was brought to Washington to testify because the Democrats wanted a spectacle. Here's what Joe Biden said at the time about this. Quote, for a woman to come forward in the glaring lights of focus nationally, you've got to start off with the presumption that at least the essence of what she's talking about is real. Whether or not she forgets facts, whether or not it's been made worse or better over time. That's what he said. That's an asinine thing to say in a country of law and order, constitutional rights, innocent and proven guilty. The president of the United States, the former president of the United States, says whether or not she forgets the facts or the essence of it has to be real because she said it. Because she said it publicly. Well, then, if that's the truth, Mr. Vice President, you're a rapist because you've been accused of it by a former staffer of yours. If you go by your standard here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, but the mainstream. This is why President Trump calls it fake news. It's not always fake news all day, every day, but with CNN and with MSNBC. And with so much of the Washington Post, the New York Times, the big players that we've always known in the media, which, by the way, much of their news is disseminated out across the country and around the world, right, that they report on and that they talk about. But this is why they are all in with being against Trump, and they have Trump derangement syndrome. And so when Biden, all you got to do is when Jake Tapper or Chuck Todd have an interview with Joe Biden, they just quote him. You said this back during the Kavanaugh hearing. How does that not apply to your situation? The fact that they won't even ask him that shows you they're all in.
Right.
They're all in for covering up for Biden and for, I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying, I'm pointing out the standards are completely different. And so when President Trump calls them the fake media, the fake news, they are. They are. And this is a glaring example of that. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
I wanted to play a little bit of something that happened on MSNBC, speaking of the media being anti-Trump. The Obama deputy chief of staff, his name was Jim Messina. He was on with Stephanie Ruhle, and they were talking about the Trump pressers, and I want you to hear what they had to say. This is cut one.
When you see President Trump with his erratic leadership and his daily, you know, clown show press conferences, to have real upstanding leaders like Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren talk about Joe Biden in personal terms, the kind of leader he would be, that contrast is really important right now. And it's a contrast that the Biden campaign is going to bank on going forward.
Then do they need to do it in a bigger way? You, what did you just call it? The president's daily clown show? That's his press briefing. Should Joe Biden be counter-programming that? Should he be creating his own shadow government, shadow cabinet, shadow SWAT team, and getting up there at a podium every night saying, here's the crisis we're in. Here's what we need to do to address this.
I think he'd be in trouble if he had to get up in front of the press every night. Yeah. But
you mean
that's the last thing that Joe Biden needs is to get up there and be free form answering questions.
Well, it's past his bedtime, too.
There you go.
Well, he's going to have to do a debate with President Trump at some point in person on a stage.
Yep.
You can't avoid that.
Maybe not, but he could say, I don't want to, if he lives in Virginia, at least he doesn't have to get out to June 10th. But he doesn't. He lives in,
sure.
He probably has two homes, Delaware and Virginia. No, he's going to. This is why a lot of people speculate there's going to be some way that the Democrats come up with to push Biden out and get somebody else in there who has a chance to beat President Trump.
Right.
Because even though the polls say it's close, and we are a divided country, common sense tells you that President Trump beats Joe Biden.
Right.
Right? Even though it may be, I don't think there's anybody that really questions that. That's why they're worried about Biden as a candidate. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I just wanted to leave with this. We need to get the country back to work, and this is the best sign I've seen yet of why we need to do it. Taneytown, Maryland, the police department puts out a tweet, and it says, please remember to put pants on before you leave the house to check your mailbox. You know who you are. This is your final warning.
Where okay, is that?
Taneytown, Maryland.
Put your pants on.
Put your pants on before you go out and get your mail.
We stand with the police on that.
Yes, we
stand
we
with them 100%.
We don't need to see that from our neighbors, do we? They don't need to see that from us. Now, it could have been innocent. I mean, everybody's in a fog right now. So you may just
that's right.
You may just walk out to get your mail, and you're walking out there, and
you look down.
You know something's not right. I don't feel right.
Pants. It's a draft here.
Yeah, it's a little chilly on my leg. Whoa! Oh, better go back inside here. Get some britches on.
Apparently, more than one though. If you have to put a tweet out.
Yeah, that's kind of like that bad dream we all have, right? Like,
right.
You know who you are.
Yeah. That dream where you're in class and. You look
right.
down and your pants aren't on.
Stress dreams, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, Steve, tell us about onenewsnow.com, if you would.
It's your site for all the news that's fit to print. We take the place of the New York Times. Most of the stories we talk about here, plus all the ones you'll hear on the top of the hour news are at onenewsnow.com. You can go there, read the news. You can also sign up for a daily newsletter that you'll get to your mailbox, and we will use your information to send you all kinds of free marketing. No, we won't. We won't.
Yeah, we won't.
We promise not to.
Right. Well... the president, he's going to. Today is significant because isn't he going to talk more in detail about reopening up the country?
He is. He's supposed to have some guidelines for us.
And governors are talking about that, doing that in the next.
It's really their responsibility, is what right. the president is saying.
Yeah,
right. But he's going to encourage it where it can safely take place.
Sure.
And there's a lot of America that can safely open.
Yep.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining us. My thanks to Steve, Ray, Walker, Fred. And our producer, Brent Creeley. Thank you for listening. Trivia Friday tomorrow. JJ and Ed will be here. We'll have some fun. Join us then.